is Davin's Den.
Part two of Davin's Den, hanging out with Joe, Pip, and Davin. Thank you guys for hanging out live or recorded. Gonna keep it rolling along as we. The first part was Tales of Vengeance. That's what that was. Tales of Vengeance.
Yes.
So let's do some School of Fools. School might be out, but there's still times for people to be fools. That's the beautiful thing. I've got so many School of Fools stories. True. It is amazing how much stupid shit happens in schools.
School's out. Where? Stupid.
Well, he did have a song, Hey, Hey, Stupid. Bishop says school no longer Catholic after flying Black Lives Matter pride flags. Those are two different flags, by the way. That's not the same flag.
Black Lives Matter pride.
A bishop has declared that a central Massachusetts school may no longer identify itself as Catholic because it refuses to remove Black Lives Matter and pride flags it began flying on campus last year, arguing that the flags embody specific agendas and ideologies that contradict Catholic social and moral teaching. Bishop Robert McManus of the Diocese of Worcester issued a decree on Thursday punishing the Nativity School of Worcester, a tuition-free private middle school that serves about 60 boys from under-resourced communities. The decree prohibits the school from calling itself Catholic and prevents Mass and sacraments from taking place on school grounds. In a statement, the school said it began displaying the flags in January 2021 at the request of its students, the majority of whom it noted are people of color. As a multicultural school, the flags represent the inclusion and respect of all people. These flags simply state that all are welcome at Nativity, and this value of inclusion is rooted in Catholic teaching, said the school. The bishop said, but it's not. According to the school, when McManus became aware of the flags in March, because somebody's got a big mouth, of March of this year, he asked the school to take them down. Later that month, an unknown person removed them. The school said, causing harm to our entire community. The flags were later raised again. In May, McManus threatened to punish the school in an open letter where he claimed the church is 100% behind the phrase Black Lives Matter, but accused a specific movement with a wider agenda of co-opting the phrase. The school said it would seek to appeal the bishop's decision while continuing to fly the flags. A spokesperson for the diocese did not immediately respond to ABC News for request. I mean, your whole student body wants you to fly these flags. The school is telling you why they're flying them. Mm-hmm. It's not to do with whatever agenda this bishop is assuming. I mean, the school is telling you, I don't know what to do. Regardless of agenda, this is why we are flying the flags. I mean, there's so many problems in the church. What are you doing?
Not that I approve or agree, but I understand why they might decide that they don't like the pride, gay pride flag, if the Catholic Church is saying that they don't agree.
Well, you know what? If anybody should approve of gay pride, it should be the Catholic Church. I mean, come on now.
The thing about it is the Catholic Church and hypocrisy has always been, hand in hand. Now, in my opinion, with the gay pride flag, if you're going to follow the teachings of the Catholic Church, and it is a Catholic institution, and you're flying that flag, it is against the because gay marriage, gay sex, gay marriage is against the teachings of the Catholic Church. So to have the flag up is kind of going against the basic teachings. In regards to Black Lives Matter, for a church that feels inclusion and love of all, out of the context of basic teaching, they're wrong not to have the Black Lives Matter flag. It's the inclusion of the, African Americans. There's nothing in the Bible that says that, Black Lives Matter is against the teachings of the church. There's nothing there. Where with gay marriage or the gay fact, it is. So I think that the bishop is On the one thing, the basic teaching on the pride flag, yes. On the Black Lives Matter, you're not showing inclusion. You're not showing love. You know, and this is basing on the teachings of the church, not basic feelings that you have in general of the right thing to do. A lot of the church. Look, I'm Catholic. I was baptized a Catholic. There's a lot of things that they do. Like, perfect example, a CCD class is a basic a Catholic teaching class when you're 12 years old. I wanted to go to church. My friend went to church. I wanted to go to church. My mom had her own issues with the church. I was about a year older than you needed to be to start the program. And the church said, nope, sorry, he's a little bit too old. It took my neighbor across the street who worked at the rectory to call them and say, the kid just lost his dad. He wants to get to the church, include him. And that, you know, so, you know, a kid wants to learn about the church. And meanwhile, three phone calls have to be made.
Well, so, Joe, in their defense, as you get a little older, you're harder to groom. So that might have been their reasons of not wanting you. You might have been a little too old for their advances.
Yeah, but by a year.
Well, Joe, they didn't know if you could keep a secret. That should be the test to get into Catholic school. Can you keep a secret?
I'll tell you another story. My mom left me at my own christening. Because what happened was my mother and father, my father was Protestant, my mom was Italian, my father was an atheist, my mom was a Catholic. So one time they're having dinner, my grandparents and my parents are having dinner on a Sunday, and they said, you know what, maybe Joe, you know, we should get Joe baptized. Wouldn't be a bad idea. My father said, that's fine. So they go to the baptism, and they're at the baptism, and the priest starts going off. Oh, you Italians, you think you can rule the world. Your son is, you know, your son is too old and blah, 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 blah. And you think you can bend the rules. My mom said, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm gone. You know, and I've had it. She walked out, you know, and my aunt, my uncle, my father, you know, went through the baptism. She walked out, didn't want a thing to do with the Catholic Church. Did not want to, you know, until when I was, like 10 or 12. Where I wanted, because I went to church with my neighbors, and I wanted to go to the Catholic Church. And my mom said, all right, fine. I'm not going, but, you know. And then eventually she went to church, and then she made peace with the church, you know, before she died. But this was the hypocrisy of the church. It's always been there. It's always been, all right, well, this is the way it is. There was a guy from the Catholic League that he was being interviewed one time, and he said that, how do you feel about all the hypocrisy at the church? And he said that I'm not really thrilled with it, and I don't agree with a lot of the hypocrisy, but he said I do believe in the basic essence of the Catholic Church, and that's what keeps me going and believing. And that's the way a lot of people feel. You know, I mean, I haven't gone to church, you know, but if it's a crisis, I'm a Catholic, you know? So,
there's a crisis. When they're rounding up people by religion, I'm Team Catholic.
Hey, let me tell you something. When I was getting, you know, buying this house, and I had to go through underwriting, and it's a choice of I've got no place to live after I live. Yeah, I was going to church a lot, and when I was fixing up the house, I would go to church, and I would go. I'll put in the work. I'll do everything. Just shove me in the right direction. I'll do all the lifting. You know. And it turned out, to tell you the truth, there was a lot of stuff that went on that really swung my way. So, I do believe it, but I don't believe in the hypocrisy. Going with the, once again, going with the basic essence of church teaching, with the rainbow flag, yeah, you know, you really don't want the rainbow flag to fly because it flies in the convention of how we feel. The Black Lives Matter flag, there's no reason that flag can't fly.
I just have a real problem with an organization that has indoctrinated more children into homosexuality having a problem with the pride flag. I mean, there's more latent homosexuals in the Catholic Church than almost any place else. But that's okay.
Yeah, but you have to go with the basic teaching of the church. I mean, you know,
I don't know. Did Jesus speak?
The church can't come out and say, look, we love fucking little boys more than the next guy, but. You know, the book says this.
Holy crap. Well,
but that's the problem. We all know. And really, religion, people, this pushes people away from it. You know, why are the churches so empty? Because of shit like this. There was a story. I just caught a little bit of it. I don't know if you guys saw it. Happened in New York City. Apparently, this pastor was like dressed in all bling, black African American pastor dressed in all bling, gold all over the place, and he got held up on camera, like in the middle of the ceremony.
Oh my God!
Oh well, that guy's a huckster.
Right. Well, but here's what I'm saying. But he's a pastor. He's got a flock and everything. And I'm thinking, yeah, you never want to see anybody get held up. But when you got more bling than an NBA superstar, and you're preaching for God, you know, maybe the guy who held you up is Robin Hood. I mean, really, God does not need you to look like Mr. T.
And you also drive a Rolls Royce.
Okay.
And this was also brought up too. On Ant's show yesterday, there was a call that he was going over this story. And he go, you know what? He goes, the people that were there didn't look that scared or concerned. He goes, this might be an inside job, whether he set it up, whether these guys run off with all this jewelry. He makes an insurance claim and winds up getting a big pile of cash.
I don't know. I'm not going to go down.
With you. It's just one of those things. Well, not for nothing.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If there's one thing you won't hear on Compound Media, it's a conspiracy theory. I'll tell you that right now.
Heaven forbid. Well, you know, Joe, I was getting there. I started with the pride flag. I could understand where they could make the criticism about that. I don't know if you guys see something that I don't, I could not for the life of me understand why the Black Lives Matter flag would be.
No. This guy, I'm guessing, against. This guy is probably a right wing guy.
Yeah.
And one of the founders of Black Lives Matter has been a target of like the New York Post and right wing. Apparently has a lot of money, this, that, the other thing. So there are the people of Black Lives Matter that are there for the right reasons. And then there's this other faction, one of the founders that may or may not be for the right reasons. So I'm guessing this bishop probably focused on that. I'm guessing this is a very right-wing individual, and the right wing has targeted one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. I haven't really gotten into it because it doesn't really interest me that much, but I know there is somebody that supposedly has like multiple houses and has made a lot of money allegedly from Black Lives Matter and feels like maybe that has co-opted it. I don't know. But again, he's putting his own beliefs in there.
If I was the priest, the bishop, rather. You know my position on Black Lives Matter. Davin, you explained it perfectly, okay? So basically, in essence, like on the gay thing, and the Catholic Church, the whole thing on gays, it's a basic foundation of why he feels that flag should not fly. Going back to Black Lives Matter, regardless how I feel, anybody thinks, the basic foundation of that is Black Lives Matter. So for all the shenanigans of them owning the mansions and this, that, and the other thing, for the simple foundation of Black Lives Matter, the goal is that Black Lives Matter, and they're trying to do away with indignity, how they feel. So that is something that you're trying to, love your neighbor or whatever, and for that simple fact, that flag should be okay to fly. Well, you know, but the basic foundation is Black Lives Matter.
Right.
And the indignity that was shown to black folks over 200 years. You know, so that should, and that's love and inclusion. And you know my feelings on the whole thing. If I'm the bishop, regardless of my feelings, it's the basic foundation of what they're trying to do.
I have the solution. I have the solution. The Black Lives Matter flag gets raised. The gay pride flag gets raised. The Confederate flag gets raised. We just raise it all. And we're all inclusive. I've solved the problem. You're welcome.
No.
You're welcome, Catholic Church.
No.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't have the stomach to make hard choices, but I do. No. That's why I'm in the power chair, dear. I make the hard decisions.
No, that makes sense.
It's the right thing. Joe, are you still having Zoom issues?
Yeah, I'm working on them now.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the next story. Outraged social media users demanded a boycott, a canceling of you, if you will, of Walgreens after the company declined to discipline a Wisconsin store clerk who refused to sell condoms to a couple citing religious grounds. Nate Pence posted it's time to wear glasses because my eyes are tired. Nate Pence posted a tweet saying that he and his partner Jess were at the checkout counter. See, now when I heard partner, I thought they were gay. But my wife corrected me that they're not gay.
They're not?
Apparently not.
Oh, wait.
I thought they were.
Are they lawyers?
We're gay.
What, Jay? What, Joe?
I thought you were gay.
Oh, my wife sent me a, you know, in the middle while I was sleeping. I wake up and there's a text. Yeah, you know that story about Walgreens? The couple wasn't gay. I'm like, okay.
Well, they're two guys and they're calling each other partners unless they're lawyers. I don't understand.
Well, no, it's Nate and Jess. Jess could be short for Jessica.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was short for Jesse. The phrasing of partner.
Yes, I assume.
But I guess if they're not married, they didn't want to put boyfriend and girlfriend. I'm guessing my wife did more research for the story than any of us did.
My bad. I assumed that meant that they were a gay couple.
Yeah. Okay. So we will, for the purposes going forward, we will assume they are not.
All right.
We're at the checkout counter of a Walgreens location in the town of Hayward earlier this month. When they tried to pay for a pack of condoms, they were shocked to learn that the cashier refused to complete the transaction. I hate when you can't get to completion. I won't sell them to you because of my faith. And you gotta have faith, faith, faith. You gotta. Anyway, the cashier, whom Pence identified as John, is said to have told them. According to Pence, just told John, it's none of your business. John is then to have replied, I can get a manager here. Do you want me to finish checking out these things? Not from you, just told him. Thanks for the great customer experience, Pence tweeted. Why wouldn't you say it then? Why do you have to tweet it, stupid?
Yeah.
I'm going to go home and ruminate. He then, good word, ruminate. Even if you don't give me credit, I'll give myself.
I liked it.
Thank you. He then posted a screenshot of his customer complaint that he submitted to Walgreens. Again, I'm not disagreeing. I'm not saying this guy was not wronged. But again, that's what we're doing. We're tweeting and screenshotting. Say it at the place, then make your little tweet. Whatever. Pence's original tweet is from July 3rd, but the post went viral in recent days, igniting widespread outrage on Twitter, which makes Twitter happy. A spokesperson for Walgreens told NBC News that John's actions did not violate company policy. Our policies are designed to ensure we meet the needs of our patients and customers while respecting the religious and moral beliefs of our team members, the spokesperson said. The instances are rare. However, when a team member has a moral or religious conviction about completing a transaction, they are required to refer the customer to another employer manager on duty who will complete the transaction, which is what occurred in this instance. Furious Twitter followed. Do we want to hear the Twitter reaction?
Step away from the bacon.
Yes. Do we want to hear the Twitter outrage or not? All right. Hey, at Walgreens, call it a boycott or whatever you want, but I'm not spending another dime at any of your stores until this policy is changed or until I need my hemorrhoid medication. Not one dime, tweeted one angry Twitter user. Hard to believe in 2022 that Walgreens is allowing their pharmacists to object to filling birth control refills or selling condoms. What the actual fuck? I don't think this was a pharmacist. I think this was a cashier.
That was the cashier, yeah. But I think that they're saying that any team member, so.
Yes, but, you know. If you're going to tweet, please tweet accurately.
Yes.
Guess it's time to hashtag boycott Walgreens, is it? The incident in Wisconsin is reminiscent of the 2012 incident involving a Colorado baker who refused to service a cake for a gay couple's wedding. That's another reason why I thought they were gay.
Yes.
Okay. Here's my thing. Listen. You got one job.
Here's your thing.
Here's my thing. You got one job as a cashier.
Mm-hmm.
It's ringing up the products.
Mm-hmm.
If you were working in a place, a pharmacy, if you will, where your religious convictions will not allow you to ring up birth control, especially in this job market, there's plenty of other places. You can go to Chick-fil-A. They'll love you there.
Oh, yeah.
Go to Hobby Lobby. Totally dig you there. There are plenty of places where you can cashier.
Mm-hmm. Go to a hardware store. I would, off the top of my head, guess that there are no birth control devices in a hardware store. I could be wrong.
Unless you get a little queasy when somebody buys 2x4s and nails.
Oh, yeah. That's a religious problem.
No, I mean, listen, I think the Walgreens policy is the correct policy.
Yeah.
You know, like if you got such a problem with it, but I don't know if you could do this, but if I could do this, I would discriminate against people who can't perform their job. You have one job to ring up the they don't want your judgment. You know, I remember being a kid long those many years ago. You know, buying condoms was a big deal.
Yeah.
Especially when you weren't using them. But it was buying condoms was a big deal. So you got to talk yourself into and go, well, they're not going to judge me. They're professionals.
Oh, but they are.
Well, apparently John is.
Apparently, price check in aisle 6, condoms extra small.
All right, you know. All right. All right, settle. Flashback friends, relax. We don't need your input there.
No, that's the nightmare.
I know. No, but you talk yourself into getting them.
Sure.
Because all they're professionals, they won't judge me. Listen, John, if you can't, you know, you can stock shelves. You know, it's a pay cut. But, you know, but that means you're going to have to stock condoms, too. Right. You know, do you want to work here, John? Hey, listen, you're entitled to your religious belief, but I need you to sell shit. That's the one job you have. You have other options. You don't have to work at Walgreens. And then invariably somebody say he was discriminated against. And I would say he can't do his job. He's allowed to have his faith, but his faith prevents him from doing the job. This isn't he can't do his job on certain days of the week, like if you were a Seventh-day Adventist or an Orthodox Jew,
right.
You know. This is, he can't do the job. We are a pharmacy. We sell birth control. As a cashier, you're going to have to check out people with birth control.
You know, if you had a restaurant.
You want to know something in the story.
Hold on. Let her finish, then jump in. What were you going to say?
If you had a restaurant.
I didn't know.
That's okay.
And you had religious people that were serving food, and they were like, oh, I can't serve this plate because I see it has pork products in it, and my religion forbids pork products. Then you can't work here.
Yes. Yes.
You need to work
at a halal restaurant or a kosher restaurant.
Right. If every time somebody orders the fucking pulled pork sandwich, you're going to bail, then you can't work here.
All right, Joe, what are you going to say?
I think there's a couple of things going on here. Number one, at the frequency that this guy refuses to sell something, if this was an isolated incident. And he said, look, I can't sell you this product due to my faith. I can get a manager, and he could, you know, I can get a manager here. Do you want me to finish checking out these things? And then, you know, just told the guy just told him, not from you. And all he had to say is, yeah, if you feel funny about that, if you can please get a manager, and the transaction will be done. Walgreens also turns around and goes, we also, you know, we care about our employees and their beliefs. If it is a problem, we could always get a manager. So it seems like. Yeah, the guy didn't want to sell it. The option was given to get a manager. The guy was furious that he had to get the manager and then went grapes on it.
Listen, I don't think – John followed protocol. But I'm, for a second, put yourself in Jess and Nate's position. I can imagine a hurried text. Have I got a you stink for you on Tuesday? If that was you trying to buy condoms and you're with Joe's girl and you encounter John and John says, oh, I can't ring these up for you. I don't think you would have handled it with such grace and elegance. I think you would have sunk your fangs into him, and justifiably so.
yeah, and believe me. I'm a salesman. I'll sell you my fucking chair, and I'll just, like, lie on the floor. I don't care. I'll sell anything. fucking anything. If I could, you know, if I can cut a deal or whatever, I'll sell you my chair. I'll sell you the desk, whatever I got to do, you know? But here, with the religious belief, it was an inconvenience, but there was an option, you know? And if that's the way the guy feels, you know, his religious belief, the option to use the manager in the transaction is finished. Yeah, it's probably the guy's pissed off because he probably had to wait for the manager or whatever. If this is a one-time incident, you know, all right, give the guy a break. If this fucking guy every 20 minutes, your God's going to hit the roof if I sell you cough drops, you know, you got to go.
Well, I can't imagine this is the only couple that's bought condoms there.
No, it's a pharmacy. But the other thing is, I am envisioning the whole conversation in a different way, and we weren't there, so we won't know.
Oh, I know.
But
I know.
You, Davin the
Omniscient. I was at the Walgreens in Hayward, Wisconsin on July 3rd.
I knew it.
Right before I went to the Bahamas, I go, you know what? Hayward needs me.
My spidey sense says I need to be in the Walgreens.
Now, I couldn't tell you if the couple was straight or heterosexual or not, but I could tell you what happened in that conversation.
Well, I'm also picturing Mr. Holy Roller standing there and being all judgy.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, the way that they weren't like, you know, listen, I have a religious objection to this product, so I have to have my manager step in. Now, you can either choose to go, okay, we'll wait, or you can be mad about it because you're in a hurry to go home and bone or whatever your problem is.
I take a choice B.
Yes. The other thing is, he could have been like clutching the pearls and going, sinners,
heaven,
I am not selling.
You're going to put that in there?
I cannot sell you sin balloons. It is against my culture.
But here's the thing. They don't want condoms. They don't want abortions. You know what? Then all we're left with is anal. But they don't want that either.
Yeah, what are we allowed to do?
Sometimes when I buy something at the drugstore, it gets frustrating, especially if I go to buy DayQuil or NyQuil. I need the CID. I'm running a fever. I've been in bed all day. I'm not opening a fucking meth lab today. Are you kidding me? So that stupid shit. You know, it's stupid shit.
Right. So I can imagine, like, you were very sympathetic to this guy. So I can imagine if this happened to you, you would not be so sympathetic. Listen, I think Walgreens...
It depends how long... And I'll give an example. Let's just delve into that for a moment. It depends on how the situation went. If he paged the manager, and the manager came right up and said, I'll finish the transaction. We regret the inconvenience. And this guy's bitching. You got to relax. If he was standing there for about 8 minutes waiting for the manager to come up, I'm fucking pissed. Maybe I will.
Yeah, but if, you know what? If there's other people online, again, we don't know the scenario, or maybe you're in a rush or you got to be, it's an inconvenience. Unless the manager, if the manager was right there, the manager would go, okay, I'll take this. But that's not what happened. The manager wasn't right there. So, so if I have to wait any amount of time, this is a problem.
I'm annoyed. But the other thing is, now you are making a big deal and highlighting something which some people are embarrassed to purchase in public. You don't stand there in Macy's window and go, look at my condoms, look at my condoms. We're going to
go home
now and bone. You know.
Stop it. Break your own shit.
But I'm just saying that, you know.
My favorite part was the dance. The choreography was amazing.
Thank you.
I'm up with that on Saturday. What are you doing?
You know what? I don't know anymore.
Have you been working with J-Lo? I feel like.
Yes. No, listen, I had an incident this afternoon at the day program where somebody that works in an adjacent business that has to come and go in our place comes in. I said hello to him and I said, hey, trouble. And I was in the middle of something. And then later they said, was Lonnie in here? And I was like, I didn't see him. I talked to the man. I was so into what I was working on, I totally forgot that seconds ago I greeted him. So this is my headspace by the end of the day. If I want to dance about condoms, I'll fucking dance about condoms.
Dance. All right. Let's back on point, as much as that expose and dance was. I don't think you should boycott Walgreens. I think Walgreens is doing the PC thing. But I don't think people like John can work there. I mean, you can't perform the job. Now, would it be religious discrimination? I don't know. It'd be interesting for the courts to weigh in. But you got one job. Yes. It's to sell. We're a pharmacy. You're not a special skill. It's not even a cake maker, which is a special skill. You're a cashier. They're everywhere. Yeah. This is why we have self-checkout. If I'm Walgreens, go, you know what? Fine. No more cashiers because the robot doesn't judge.
Listen, I don't even want them to be calling attention to my, like, you know, butt wipes or preparation H or you know, like, you know, skin condition creams. I don't want them. You don't want them calling attention to what you're purchasing in a pharmacy.
It ruins it.
It really is a problem.
It makes it very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. John's a problem.
He's a problem.
He cannot perform. So listen, John, you can have other jobs here. You can... Well, John, you really can't have other jobs here. Because you know what? Because you know what? We have boxes of condoms coming in. We have boxes of IUDs coming in. You know, there's shit. John, Walgreens isn't right for you.
There's a shipment of Plan B coming in. Are you going to lose your mind?
Like I said before, if it was just this one incident, you know, everybody's got to get over it. If the manager's running up every fucking 10 minutes, you got to go. You got to go. You can't do this gig.
Yeah.
Bye, John. All right. This was this topic of Joe's blog. I think it's very.
My coffee, asshole.
What?
You go, bye, John. I almost spit my coffee.
You never know when I'm going to sneak in funny.
Terrible.
All right. This was Joe's blog, so I'll let Joe handle it first. I'll explain what's going on. Pat Benatar. Pat Benatar fan?
Yeah, I like her.
Pat Benatar fan, Joe?
Yeah.
I like Pat Benatar. Do I have an album? I think I bought her Greatest Hits not too long ago.
Oh.
Don't get too excited. It was like at a thrift shop or something. She saw none of my money.
No.
I paid a buck or two. Now I have to see if I have it. I think I do. Rocker Pat. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do. There's a couple songs of hers I like.
Yeah.
Rocker Pat Benatar's recent set lists are missing one of her most popular songs, Hit Me With Your Best Shot. The reason she told USA Today in an interview published Thursday is directly related to current events, which she is not related to. There is nothing current about Pat Benatar, kids. We're not doing Hit Me With Your Best Shot, and fans are having a heart attack. Right, wrong singer. Benatar said. And I'm like, I'm sorry, in deference to the victims of the family of these mass shootings, I'm not singing it. I tell them, if you want to hear the song, go home and listen to it. Okay. Lyrics of the 1980 song suggested it was about a physical fight. Put up your dukes. Let's get down to it. I thought it was about the Dukes of Hazzard, but I was wrong.
Pull up your Daisy Dukes. Let's see more cheek.
That's the second stanza. Mm. She sang in the first verse, but then she sings in the chorus, Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Fire Away. Mm-hmm. The title is tongue-in-cheek, but you have to draw the line, which is an Aerosmith album. Maybe they won't play any tunes off that, because maybe we're against drawing. I can't say I can't say those words out loud with a smile on my face. You don't have to. You're fucking singing. I just can't, Benatar said. I'm not going to go on stage and soapbox. I go to my legislatures, but you kind of are. But that's my small contribution to protesting. Very small. I'm not going to sing it. Tough. Very small. Mass shootings in the United States have increased overall in the last few years, as illustrated by the Washington Post based on statistics collected by the nonprofit Gun Violence Archive. Benatar had something to say, too, about another major news story in 2022. The Supreme Court's ruling to overturn their 1973 decision in Roe v. Wade, which said women had a constitutional right to abortion. The singer was then asked how these events of 2022 affect the tenor of the work you're singing from 30 or 40 years ago. Well, Invincible is really important. Said no one in this millennium. She said of her Grammy-nominated hit, which served as the theme for the 1985 movie The Legend of Billie Jean. By the way, good tune. Just nobody's talking about it. I'm worried, like all of us, about fundamental autonomy rights. This is a slippery slope, especially if you use condoms with lubricant. It's not about abortion for me. I'm concerned that people are not paying attention to what this actually means. In that song, she sings, we can't afford to be innocent, and later adds that it's a do-or-die situation. Again, we are really stretching to make Pat Benatar relevant. And I like Pat Benatar. We are really stretching. I don't think Pat Benatar's speaking to taste. Kids, I'm just saying that. Anyway, enough from me. Joe, you had opinions.
Basically, her song has nothing to do about the recent shootings. Fans don't have any reference with it until she brought it up. And of course they don't feel it has any reference to the shooting, because if the song was called Duck and Cover, I would understand. artists have to realize that fans take the music from when the song was introduced, and they associate the memory when they first heard the song to the song. The song came out in the 80s. It was an innocent enough time. She had just a simile, to shoot me with, hit me with your best shot. So you look at that song the way you enjoyed it during the 80s, not now, and you don't have any association to what's going on now until she called it out. Same thing with the Rolling Stones when they had Brown Sugar, which was about a slave owner.
Hold on. Let me stop you right here, because the point. Initially, when I read your blog, I agreed with you, and to a degree, I do. But there are songs, and you've brought them up here, like Winger Can't Sing, She's Only 17 Anymore. And at the time, when we associate with that time, you could sing it. You know, or Kiss Christine 16. Or, there are songs that don't age well.
Yeah.
So that's what she's saying. But go on.
But when that song was released, it was, I believe, 72 when the Rolling Stones tune got released. We just got over a whole, civil rights thing, and every wound was still open from that. The song came out, they associated with a story in history, or based on a story that, might have been true. But people took the song for what they did, a good song with lyrics that were kind of going over a story of what had happened. It was fine for years until people, oh, well, that's about a slave owner and raping his, you know, slave. Yeah, it's not the prettiest song, but you do have an association of when the song came out and how you enjoyed the show, the song then.
I think there's a difference between Brown Sugar and Hit Me With Your Best Shot. And again, until we did that story a few months ago, I never knew from Brown Sugar. But when you read the lyrics, you go, "Oh, that is really graphic.
Yeah.
That is about rape and slavery." Again, I think I said, "Listen, if they want to do the song, I don't care one way
but
or the other."
But everybody could handle it at the time, and like I said,
no, but wait, but they're not playing it now. But what I'm saying is, I could see why Rolling Stones would go, "You know what? This isn't the best thing to do here." It really seems like Pat Benatar is stretching. It's not obvious like Brown Sugar is when you read the lyrics. Go, ooh. I mean, Pat Benatar is really stretching to be relevant.
Well, you want to know something? And I thought about it today because I was doing some final prep at lunch today, and something dawned on me. If the song was "Shoot Me With Your Best Shot," and she pulled it out of the set list and wouldn't do it, I would get it, because it's kind of at this juncture in time, "Shoot Me With Your Best Shot," maybe she won't be able to perform the song correctly, because it basically says shoot me.
Yeah.
Shoot me with your best shot. Shoot me with what? Your best shot.
I would think it would be jizz, honestly. If it was if a woman is singing that, I think somebody's about to get off. I'm just being honest. I mean, if a woman is singing a love song with "Shoot Me With Your Best Shot," I don't think she wants to be assassinated. I think she wants a load on her face.
Oh my God. No more part for you.
No, but seriously, those aren't the lyrics. But if they were the lyrics, if Joe's version of the lyrics were, that's what I would think. I still wouldn't cross my mind that a woman is saying, "Shoot me."
But I understand what Joe's saying is that makes it more.
Yes, of course it makes it more.
On the head, you know?
Hi, I'm Pat Benatar. Will you notice me?
Ugh. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, like I said, "Shoot me." It's kind of to the point on that. It's "Hit Me With Your Best Shot." Now, if she was performing it at, you know, a woman's, a battered woman's concert, you know, yeah, maybe you don't want to do that tune, you know?
Yeah.
But, again, it's really a stretch. She's talking about "Give me your best love."
"Hit me with your best shot" at a women's domestic violence shelter or fundraiser or something. Yeah, you're right. I would cut that from the set.
From the set list, you know. But on this one, nobody is having a connotation to the recent shootings with this song.
No.
Nobody would have unless she brought it up. But the thing about, you know, the whole thing about guns, where people have a reluctance to complain about something, basically at the club this weekend, somebody complained about the banner. Well, the banner has bullet holes in it, and the guy in the banner has a gun. Yeah, because it's based on a farcical mob character. You're not going to have him on there with a pea shooter, you know? I mean, you gotta relax. Also, closer to home, my band Race Odyssey, we have a logo with this woman holding a smoking gun. Now, Johnny Race wanted the logo redone without the gun. I'm like, what? Well, people will think about violence. I go, I say it stays. I mean, you're the boss, but I say it stays.
I do have the shirt. Not only did she have a gun, but she had two big bazookas as well.
So basically, I go, John, I go, I'm in the band. My take on it has always been a powerful woman that shouldn't be scorned. You know,
that's the way I look at it.
That's the way I look at it. I go, look, you're the boss. You're the band leader. You know, if you want, we never did. But you know, that's another thing. So you have to look at, you know, content. Meanwhile, rappers are singing about violence and killing day in, day out. They don't give a shit.
Well, maybe wait a minute. Hold on. Maybe because I saw Sebastian Bach of Skid Row a few years ago. Maybe he can't sing 18 in Life anymore, because it's talking about how he killed somebody, he wound up in jail. I mean, stop it. These are the hits. I gotta tell you, she doesn't have a ton of hits, Miss Benatar. I like her. She doesn't have a ton of hits.
No.
If I was going to her concert, I'd be pissed off that she wasn't playing this song. Now, if Aerosmith says we're not gonna play "Dream On," I'm okay with it, because I've seen them a million times, and they got a million other hits or other songs that I like. But, I mean, if this is the only time you're going to see Pat Benatar, And you really just want to hear the hits.
Yeah.
Because you're not hip to the Pat Benatar deep cuts. I would be upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would be upset too.
I would be upset as well. And I think that, you know, I was just trying to think of songs that were, you know, comparisons. Now, it's just like
Billy Get Your Gun by Def Leppard, right?
How about the Beatles, yeah. Happiness is a Warm Gun? Now, you don't want to be playing that right after the segment where you're doing the news about a school shooting. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I don't know that song, but I'll seek it out.
Yeah, it's on the White Album. But the thing is,
racist bitch.
That, and I prefer the White Album. No, I'm kidding.
She believes the White Album's superior.
Yeah. The thing is that there are some, you know, there are some songs that are a lot more on point. It's like on television when they used to have a terrible plane accident where people are killed. Then during the commercial break, they would take out the airliner commercials because they didn't want to be like, you know, all these people crashed and are dead. And it's like, fly our airline.
See,
right,
I always
after
thought
that,
they should,
you know,
I always thought they should do those stories with Dusty Springfield leaving on a jet plane right underneath. Don't know when I'll be back again. I always thought that was the way to handle it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's a lot more on point than Pat Benatar.
She's struggling here.
She's reaching. Maybe she's feeling that when she's singing it. But people were not perceiving it.
And
that
I
got to
tell you something else that really bugged me.
Exactly.
I got to tell you something that really bothered me about Miss Benatar. If they want to hear the song, play the album. Listen, you dopey twat. We can all play the album. They want to hear it live for whatever reason. How disrespectful of your fans and the money and the time they invest in seeing you. I mean, you know what, Pat? If everybody stays home and plays the album, your career's over.
Yeah.
You're not making any more money.
Listen.
Yeah, you know what? You're not making hits anymore. We just got over a pandemic where people are finally going places after 2 years. And if they don't like it, you know, and you're being very indignant about something that is absolutely nothing about a connection to the song. If, like I said, if it's like Hell is for Children and you have people that are upset, well, you know, we don't want to hear a song about kids that are being battered, or I'm bringing my son. I don't want them to hear stuff like that. We can have a big discussion on that because it's, you know, it's there, you know, and if she's indignant about that, you know, it's debatable. But here, she's making a big thing over absolutely nothing. There was absolutely no connotation that anybody would derive that would have a connection between shootings and this song.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, anybody who listens to the show knows that I'm a big Steve Winwood fan. And it's like, I'm not saying that he does feel this way, but even if he hated Give Me Some Lovin', he's got to play that song every show. I mean, that's his downfall, I suppose, for the rest of his life. He had to play that song, you know, as a solo act. So
listen,
it's like,
there's a reason why people are coming to see you.
If
and it's
you
not
don't,
for the deep cuts.
They'll lose their minds, yeah. You know?
And so, you know what? As entertainers, no matter what run of the business you're on, or what genre you're doing, comedy or you know music or whatever, you're a dancing chicken. If people are coming to pay, you know, see your hit, you're a dancing chicken.
Yep.
So there goes the computer again. You're a dancing chicken. So you know what? Give them the hits. That's what they're paying you for. That's what they're paying to park for. That's what they're paying for the admission. That's why they're paying $11 or $16 for a beer. $5 for a water. You know, they're laying out money to hear this, okay? And, you know, you might have your convictions, but it doesn't have anything to do with shootings. Get up there, do the tune, be done.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do some. Hold on, I gotta find this. Some scamming scammers.
Busters! If there's something strange on your Facebook page.
All right, so real quick, Craig Grant, boyfriend of Juliana Avalos, who was a scammer but complained she was a victim of scams. Craig was the boyfriend helping with her. Then they did a BitConnect, which is a cryptocurrency Ponzi scheme. So that's what it is. And that BitConnect.
The losers!
BitConnect got shut down by the U.S. government. People have been arrested. Fines have been doled out. So that's really, really short. there's a long history we have
yes.
with Craig and Juliana, but I don't think it's time to go into it now.
No, no, no. All of it's on davincomedy.com.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Glasses time. Glasses. Get your glasses, kids. Get glasses, Alice. Now I'm dating myself.
Get glasses, Alice.
Get your glasses on, Joe. We can be six eyes.
I love those commercials because I was just waiting for her to come up sucking on a toe. Get glasses, Alice. Get glasses.
All right. So this is SEC versus BitConnect et al. Complaint alleging a securities fraud that ultimately succeeded in obtaining more than 325,000 Bitcoin, or approximately $2 billion from investors worldwide. Now, Craig was a big promoter of BitConnect, so yeah. Like it was a Ponzi scheme, so you'd go underneath him. You know, like any of these Ponzi schemes, and he'd get a cut of whatever you made.
Right.
And U.S. Securities Exchange Commission versus BitConnect, described as an unincorporated organization. Satish Kumbani, described as a citizen and resident of India. Glenn Arcaro, described as a citizen of the United States, residing in California. And Craig was underneath Greg. Future Money Limited of Hong Kong and at the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. The U.S. SEC has sued individuals and companies based in California, India, and Hong Kong for allegedly perpetrating a $2 billion crypto fraud known as BitConnect.
Damn.
Now, this one I had gotten like a bunch of emails when this was going down because I had published all the stuff with Avalos and Grant and everything. And so I was warning people they were scammers.
Yeah.
So a lot of people saved their money by not investing with them. Anyway, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that victims of the BitConnect Ponzi scheme can proceed with a class action suit by reversing a previous ruling that prohibited such a case. BitConnect is the endlessly memed initial coin offering from 2017 that collapsed in January 2018. Appellate courts are superior courts that are used to review previously tried cases, so the ruling may be reversed or confirmed. The alleged victims may now move forward with a class action case against BitConnect, BCC, and its promoters, Glenn Arcaro, Ryan Mason, Trayvon Jones, Ryan Hildreth, and Craig Grant. They were all like all over YouTube promoting it, like, oh, BitConnect's the best thing, showing the glam life, this, that, the other. There is no word yet on whether the complainants will proceed with the case. The original complainants filed suit to be compensated for damages from being defrauded by BitConnect and its promoters. The complainant says promoters made a mockery of state and federal securities laws. That's not good. Law 360 wrote on Tuesday that the defendants claimed in the Southern District of Florida that since marketing for the project was done using online mass communications platforms, they cannot be held liable for securities fraud. The defendants successfully argued that there could only be liability when a seller direct solicitations to particular prospective buyers. So they were doing mass things, and there was, oh, no, it wasn't directed at you.
Oh, I see. That's what they're trying to say?
Yes.
No, please.
By using online social media platforms, the promoters argue that they had not directly solicited cryptocurrency to buyers. Without that direct solicitation, they argued there was no securities fraud. However, the circuit court decided to reverse the lower court's decision to accept that argument since there is no precedent of the Securities Act of 1933 preventing online videos from being used in fraud charges. Judge Britt C. Grant wrote for the court's panel on February 18th. Because the Securities Act provides no free pass for online solicitations, we reverse the district court's dismissal of the Section 12 claim. The circuit court's panel called the lower court's reading of the Securities Act cramped and said that it makes little sense as it would have held a person liable for soliciting a security in a personal letter but not an internet video. David Silver, an attorney in the original case against BitConnect and its promoters, tweeted on Saturday, "This is an incredibly important decision that will reverberate for years to come." It seems very logical.
Yeah.
This decision.
Yeah, but I mean, they're saying that if it comes to you in a personal letter, if it came to you also, I would say if it came to you with an email.
But this was not that.
No,
it wasn't. This was on
just broad.
Broadly on YouTube,
yeah.
Putting it out there. The court stated technology has opened up a new avenue for both investment and solicitation. A new means of solicitation is not any less of a solicitation. I think that's the common sense ruling.
Yeah.
So let's see. So this is from February 19th of this year. So there's a whole bunch of – I just got a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm.
This new precedent adds greater legal risks and responsibilities for crypto promoters who use YouTube, Twitter, and other online communications platforms to shill crypto, Judge Grant wrote. A new means of solicitation is not any less of a solicitation. In recent years, YouTube has removed videos and shut down channels related to cryptocurrency it deems harmful and dangerous. You have to remember at the time, this shit was all over the place.
Yeah.
The Securities and Exchange Commission filed suit against the founders and promoters last May and received $12.6 million in cash and Bitcoin through a settlement deal in August. Last November, the Department of Justice said it planned to sell the crypto it had seized from BitConnect, valued at $56 million, probably not worth that now, as potential compensatory payment for victims in future cases. The SEC has tracked BitConnect defendant Craig Grant to a hideout in Jamaica. Now it gets fun. Now he's been to Jamaica before. He spent a lot of time in Jamaica. In an October 8th request for an amended summons, the SEC reveals Grant's hideout address. Interestingly enough, that this isn't Grant's family home, as featured in his YouTube farming videos. It appears to be a housing estate in the southwest of Spanish Town, about 30 kilometers west of Kingston. This is another site that did all this research, not me. Mm-hmm. Grant's family home hideout is believed to be in central Jamaica, somewhere in the mountains around Christiana. Based on Jacaranda Homes marketing, the houses in its development are fairly new. Whether Grant bought the identified property or is just staying there is unclear. In any event, the court issued the requested modified summons later on October 8th. The SEC has yet to confirm whether service of the summons has been executed. After tracking BitConnect defender Craig James in Jamaica, the SEC managed to serve him on October 29th. Grant's response to the SEC lawsuit is now a week overdue. To serve Grant, the SEC engaged local counsel in Jamaica. Last month, Grant was tracked down in Spanish Town, a housing estate west of Kingston. As recounted in supporting affidavit, here's how Grant's service went down. On October 20th, 2021, I attempted service at the Spanish Town address, but because this is a gated community, there was a man with a flat tire on the side. I was denied admittance. He was cursing.
He was staring longingly at the pool.
It's full of sand. We couldn't get by.
I deserve every bit.
He was scratching his fur and the sand was flying.
Yes. On October 21st, 2021, at approximately 6:15 a.m., I was granted access to the main gate, the Spanish Town address. I left a copy of the documents to be served with a security guard. The documents were placed in a sealed envelope to address Mr. Craig Grant. Mr. Grant. On October 22nd, 2021, at approximately 9:45 a.m., I revisited the Spanish Town address, was granted access at the main gate, and learned that Mr. Grant had not returned to his residence. I placed a copy of the documents to be served in a transparent bag, affixed the documents to the gate that specifically leads to Mr. Grant's unit. I followed up with the security guard on October 30, 2021, and she confirmed to me that Mr. Grant collected the documents affixed to the gate on October 29, 2021, during the evening. However, a November 9th case docket entry set a November 19th deadline for Grant to respond. At the time of publication, Grant has thus failed to respond to the SEC's lawsuit. What this will typically lead to is the SEC filing for and eventually securing default judgment. As one of BitConnect's top promoters and defendants in the SEC lawsuit, Grant is facing damages, a civil penalty, and disgorgement of over $1.3 million.
Wow.
I don't think he has that money.
No.
I don't think the bounce house business pays that well. That's their job.
Yeah.
Grant had been uploading videos of his life in Jamaica after fleeing there earlier in the year. Yes, he did. The SEC has been The SEC has been unable to locate Craig Grant for service in Jamaica. As an alternative, the regulator now seeks permission to effect service via email and publication. So they didn't serve him.
Okay.
The SEC sued in May 2021. Yeah, I said that already. Upon learning of the SEC lawsuit against him, Craig Grant fled for Jamaica. There, the SEC has been unable to enlist the assistance of Jamaican authorities, as Jamaica is not a signatory to the Hague Convention. So they don't have to
give us.
Yes. Oh. So if you it's a smart move by Craig Grant. I mean, he's familiar with Jamaica.
Yes.
And they can't touch him there.
Wow. That's really something else.
Independent attempts to locate Grant initially led to a residence in Spanish Town. Despite the individual served being roughly the same age as Grant and having the same three initials, that turned out to be a dead end. Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, so that's not really him?
Apparently not.
Oh.
Renewed efforts to locate Grant saw the SEC narrow his location down to Rock Spring in Trelawney Parish. As explained by the SEC, Rock Spring Trelawney, with largely unpaved roads and with residents lacking specific street and house addresses. This sounds like where he would go to.
Yeah.
Despite a process server's best efforts to canvass Rock Spring, Grant continues to evade the SEC. On February 22nd, the SEC requested permission to serve Grant via email and publication. Service on Grant by email comports with constitutional notion of due process while promoting the speedy administration of justice. The SEC argues service by publication is appropriate in this case, as it's unlikely Grant is unaware of the SEC's lawsuit. I guarantee you he's aware of what's going on.
Oh, he's totally aware.
He knows.
Oh, yeah, of course he is.
There is at least a high likelihood that Grant has knowledge of this lawsuit because the commission emailed him a courtesy copy of the complaint upon filing it at Grant appears to have left the United States for Jamaica shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. It's time to scram. In addition, the filing of this case was widely reported. In addition to that, I can confirm Grant is an avid reader of Behind MLM. I guess that's what I got this from, that website, Behind MLM. Hmm. So they do the research on this. Credit to them. Grant has been quick to delete YouTube videos referenced on Behind MLM in the past. Just recently, we noted Grant going by Dulce Polger on Twitter, so he's changing his name.
Oh.
Within 24 hours of the article going live, Grant changed his name to Nibiru, which he's still going by. I checked. So you can still find him on Twitter by that, and he's still posting shit.
Oh, my God.
He can't stop.
Can't help himself.
One interesting claim made by the SEC's Jamaica Process Server is that Grant is living with his spouse in Jamaica. Sometime between January 14th and 21 of 2022, agent discovered that Craig Anthony Grant is married. The agent informed me that Craig Anthony Grant reside with his spouse in Rock Spring. They're not sure the information is correct. I don't think they're married either.
Are we talking about Juliana?
Do you think she's still in Florida?
Oh, Juliana's not posting anything. But Craig was like, at least that I found. I did do a look.
No, what I'm saying is the person they're speaking about is his spouse. Is that Juliana?
Yes, that would be Juliana. Okay. Yes. That's our baby.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It's in front of me. Oh, my mind. I'm not sure how reliable this information is. I'm aware Grant married Victoria Miaskova in the 2000s. Yes, that he did marry her. Vicky, as she was known, met Grant through an online dating service as recanted by Grant. This is all true, by the way. This is all out there for anybody to see. Craig wrote all this shit. I was deeply in love with the intentions to marry Vicky. This was the easiest, if not only, way Vicky could get a visa to live in Miami with me. In the months prior, I had many conversations with Vicky about who I am, and she knew I do not believe in marriage. I explained to her that I just started making all this money, and I planned to do a lot of traveling and partying, and that she would not be the only woman in my life.
Wow, that's harsh.
No, Alyssa, he's up front. Give him credit.
I know. It's still harsh. If you have your heart set on somebody, hearing that is tough.
You know, if fake Dave would be more up front with his women, maybe we wouldn't have all the heartache we have. Grant and Miaskova married in July 2000. What followed was a complicated relationship between Grant, Vicky, escorts, and other girlfriends.
Wow.
Doesn't seem
kind. Wow. It seems like he's a piece of shit.
What are you talking about? Seems like he's my hero. Talking about. Oh, sure. He's a rock star. Yeah, you love it. He's a fraudster. You got a problem with it. You need to separate.
Is it Craig Grant or Charlie Sheen we're talking about?
Either one. He's got all tiger blood. One of those girlfriends was Juliana Vallis, a.k.a. Julie, whom Grant first met several years prior at a hair salon, I believe.
I gotta stop you for a second. So I guess they're not married.
I don't think they're married.
The only thing, because the story said that it's just one of his girlfriends or a girlfriend, so.
No, I mean, like, I don't know what the Florida law is for common law marriage. Like, they might be common law married because they've lived together for over a decade.
Oh.
But right. I don't – I mean, that's easy enough to find. But if there's no common law marriage in Florida, then they're not married.
Right.
Over 2002 and 2003, Grant would father his second and third children, two sons, one from Vicky, one from Julie. Vicky and Grant split in 2004. I'm unclear whether they ever got divorced. I wonder if they did. I don't know. Grant and Julie continued on and remained together. They never married. That's what this says. I don't think they did either. As the SEC found out when they attempted service, Grant abandoned Julie and his son. He's got two sons in Florida when he fled to Jamaica. I don't think he abandoned them. I'm sure she knew exactly what was doing. I would guess he was sending money or she was sending money. I have no reason to believe that this was the final straw.
Baby, I gotta go.
Okay. The commission first attempted service on Grant at his address in Kissimmee, Florida, in early June 2021, but was advised by his former girlfriend at that address that he relocate Jamaica at an unknown address. She knows.
Of course.
She knows. Julie is not only still with Grant, she traveled with Grant to his grandmother's property more than enough times to know where it is, if that's where he is. We know Grant and Julie are still together, as after he fled, Grant would regularly upload voice calls to Julie and post them to one of his YouTube channels.
Oh, boy.
This guy.
You know, you got it with the bravado on this guy is just incredible.
It's not bravado. It's narcissism. He needs it. He needs the attention for whatever reason.
So bad.
And it's very detrimental to him. Grant deleted those videos in late 2021, shortly after a behind MLM reported Grant was likely facing indictment in the U.S. Well, why'd you guys ruin the video, stupid? In any event, unless Julie has left the U.S. sometime between December 2021, and now Grant is living by himself. I have not seen her or his kid, their kids, in any of his videos from him in Jamaica. Doesn't mean they're not there. I haven't seen them. The property adjacent to where he's staying belongs to his grandmother. Whether she's still alive is unclear. Possible scenarios that come to mind are Grant has married Julie and she's moved to Jamaica, or there's some shenanigans going on with government records making it look like Grant is living with his spouse when he isn't. I just think they're wrong. I think he's just probably there.
Yeah.
And she's not going to tell him the truth, and they're kind of lazy.
Oh, of course you're not going to tell them the truth.
In any event, the SEC have requested permission to effect service through three newspapers available in Jamaica. If approved, the SEC will publish a notice directed at Grant once weekly for four consecutive weeks in the Jamaica publications, Jamaica Observer and The Gleaner, and the International New York Times. The commission understands that each of these publications is widely circulated in Jamaica. A decision on the SEC's motion remains pending at time of publication. Now, on March 17th, the SEC was given permission to serve Grant via publication. On June 20th of this year, on June 17th, the SEC filed a motion informing the court that service by publication on Grant is complete. So they published it. The court has scheduled a status conference for June 30th. July 2nd, on June 23rd, the court canceled the scheduled June 30th conference. It's canceled. It's being given no explanation. He does continue to post on Twitter.
He might have wanted to build a stronger case.
Oh, I think the case is rock solid. Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think he's ever coming back to the United States.
Doesn't sound like
it. I don't think he should.
How much does it cost to ship bouncy houses?
I don't know. I don't, you know, he might get away with it.
Yeah, if they don't want to do anything about it in Jamaica.
Why would they?
Doesn't affect them.
Doesn't affect them at one bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's perfectly happy never coming back to the United States.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem that too attached to anything.
Right. I mean, it would be different perhaps if he were American born and he, you know, went to another country and then realized he could never come, quote unquote, home.
He's just not attached in that way to things.
No.
And if they're not legally married, they can't go after her stuff.
Right.
So... you know,
so either she can stay in Florida and not be bothered, or she can go and be with him in Jamaica and both of them won't be bothered.
And I mean, we know he's all got at least one kid out there he hasn't seen in years that I can tell.
Yeah, maybe he just doesn't care about that either.
I mean, he just does not get that attached to things. It is amazing that he continues to post on social media, but
whatever. Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to find him, go on Twitter, Craig One Son. That's the name of his kids. One's kid's name is One. The other one is Son. Those are the two kids that he had with Juliana. Craig One Son. Still posting nonsense. Just a little update. Just thought it was kind of interesting.
Wow. Well, you know, it is interesting to see that, you know, he hasn't changed his spots.
No, he's still promoting cryptocurrency.
Yeah, and apparently he likes to dip his toe into all sorts of scams.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what I put a light on years ago.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I was getting a hankering for banana bread recently. So.
Oh, yeah. I like dirty panties myself. But anyway.
Two great tastes that taste great together.
Most certainly do. I like the warm smell of banana bread coming out of the oven and the warm smell of panties coming off the ass. What?
I'm not sure how they go together. I was just thinking, you know,
savory and sweet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hmm.
All right. Here's a story that never should have been.
Oh.
Prepare yourself.
Four people have been arrested for allegedly raping a Bengal monitor lizard in the Sadari Tiger Reserve near Gothane Village in Maharashtra. The accused, identified as hunters of Puntang, allegedly entered the core zone of Sadari Tiger Reserve in the Gaba area at Gothane. Oh, this fucking story. And committed the abhorrent crime. They have been identified as Sand Deep and Balls Deep.
Oh,
What? No? That's not an authentic Indian name? Sure it is.
Sure it is.
Sandeep Turkram, Pawar Mengesh, you know what? This is all the Scrabble points. Janardhan Kamatikar and Akshay Sunil. The Maharashtra Forest Department checked the mobile phone of the accused and came to know about the incident. Because you got to save these pictures. The officials found the recording of the act, which showed the accused allegedly gang raping the monitor lizard.
You know, even the biggest monitor lizard is not big enough for that.
Really? So the size is the problem. Okay, we'll continue.
No, I'm just... What? I mean, like...
What
it's
would
like,
possess you to... I mean, there's a horse, there's a goat. Why a lizard?
Well, now we know Joe's checklist.
Well, I'm just like...
If I was a creeper, gonna fucking... You know, I'd say a horse or a goat.
Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Here's a pet peeve. You make love to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You get all hot and sweaty. And then they want to cuddle. It doesn't work with two mammals. Now, if you have a reptile, it's a cooling effect to the cuddle. That makes perfect sense.
Oh, no. I think that these things have some pretty good talons. There's no cuddling. That's danger cuddling.
It's the only type of cuddling.
What if one of the talons clips your balls? You know, you're fucked.
Listen.
And not in a good way.
I like things a little dangerous. I like to live on the edge. The forest officials posted at Sango Forest Reserve traced the accused with the help of CCTV footage in which they can be seen roaming in the forest. Furnishing further details of the incident, the authorities informed that three accused had come from Konkan to Kolpar's Chandoli village for hunting. The forest officials, who are perplexed about the incident, will take up the matter with the Indian Penal Court. That's what it says.
No!
It does. To discuss charges against the accused. According to the officials, the accused will be produced in a court and appropriate legal action will be taken against them. For the unversed, the Bengal monitor lizard is a reserve species under the Wildlife Protection Act 1972. If convicted, the accused could be charged with 7 years of imprisonment.
What's going to happen?
You know what? But there's no Rape Protection Act. And you know why? Who would fuck a monitor lizard?
These gentlemen.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what, Joe? Don't knock it until you've tried it. I find you very closed off, standoffish, unwilling to try new things. I've experienced this with Joe when we've traveled. Say, hey, you want to get Indian food? No. He's very particular about his taste, and that's where his opinions come from.
You just scared the hell out of me.
A couple of women I dated said I'm prudish, you know, so maybe I should open my horizons to reptiles.
Some would argue you have. Go on, Pip.
I'm just saying, you scared the hell out of me when you said, Joe and I experienced this. I'm like, whoa.
It's a long, lonely road, dear.
You know what? Like, I don't want to try it because I have reptile dysfunction, so I don't.
You know if Joe's girl's listening to this. And I don't want you going to PetSmart anymore. I heard the show.
Get out of the reptile section. Go look at the puppy.
Oh, my God. That's so terrible.
And yet you mock.
What?
Like the shrill whore that you are.
Penal court, you say.
Listen, man, I read the words, and not well, I'm guessing. But
this is just abhorrent deep behavior. I cannot understand, of all the things, of all the species, lizards. Where did you even find the spot to go? I mean, come on.
I just like the fact that, you know, you don't have the temerity to take it one-on-one. This is going to be how does that argument go down? Listen, I get first dibs on the lizard. You go second. How do you work that out? Do you do one potato, two potatoes, ink a bink a bottle of ink? How is the process? Rock, paper, scissors? How do you determine who gets to go first?
How do you start the conversation?
Yes.
What do you want to do on Friday night?
Lizard.
that lizard tongue, which is constantly going. I'd be one of the guys, here, he scrapes my balls with his tongue every 2 seconds.
I bet that would feel great on my taint.
That taint what I was looking for. No.
Yeah, you like...
A lizard, you want to stay away from it. from it, not fuck it. These people are out of their mind.
Yeah.
No, but you do. I mean, you do have to give the person who brings it up in conversation a little bit of credit, because that's a hard conversation starter. Like, I there is nobody I am close enough with, and this is really an indictment of my insecurities and personality, where I could go, you see that lizard? What do you think about us fucking it? There is no. See, this is why I can't communicate. I can't. No, hold on, Joe. Look, I share something, and she mocks. This guy had good friends. Whoever brought it up had good friends. I share something, and I get mocked and judged.
I'm laughing because you're lying so hard because we just talked about this.
Fucking lizards?
Lizard fucking, yes.
And hold back. You just told the story that went back about almost 20 years of a deceased man now that drove 400 miles and 400 miles back for nothing.
I tell you what, given the choice between the monitor, the lizard, or the ham, I'd take the lizard. That does not go there. You're doing it wrong.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You must penetrate the first layer of filth before I even feel anything.
Do not shoot your load on my scales. It is very hard to clean off.
We do not need lubricant. I have flop sweat.
Oh, wow.
Here, I have serviced you. Take one of my t-shirts on the way out.
I have serviced you.
And bring the lights and sound. And that's how Joe became a headliner.
We met at RJ Gators. It was RJ Monitor Lizards.
Yeah, none of us looked at that logo and went, I'd fuck it.
Speak for yourself.
All right. Joe and I didn't look at the logo and
I said, that's one hot lizard.
That's a hot gator.
Yeah.
You made the mascot uncomfortable, which is why you did not get the gig.
Now, when you look at a gator, don't you say that now that's one piece of tail.
I most certainly do not. Although when I go down and I go, you know what, tastes like chicken. But anyway. Fishy chicken.
You know, what do you do if you start dating a lizard? Do you put lipstick on it to pretty it up? But you can't buy it a handbag.
You know, hold on. You can't because that's family, Joe. That's family.
Yeah, I know.
You can't buy it a handbag.
You know what, though? I'm guessing if you're into lizards, you don't need to gussy them up.
No.
You don't need makeup. You like the you like the natural look.
Handbag.
She's got a point.
Really?
It's just such a weird story.
It's just...
Like, are you holding it? I guess you're holding it down.
Wouldn't you have to?
I mean, maybe if the lizard had somebody in his family like that person running for office in Michigan, where the lizard, there's a little voice where the father said, you know what? If you're going to be raped, just sit back and enjoy it.
Oh, my God.
Maybe the lizard comes from that type of family.
No monitor lizard family would say this.
Oh, I don't know. I think there's a lot of reptiles in office.
Oh, there are. Oh, God, these guys are sick. What the hell is going to happen to them in prison?
Now, you're thinking if you're screwing the lizard, its tail's going to be swatting back and forth. So, you know, I would derive any pleasure sticking something in, like, scales and gluck with a tail swatting back and forth.
Well, I think this is where the gang rape comes in. I think somebody's holding the tail.
Oh, yeah. I don't even want to know about the mechanics of it.
That's all I want to know about.
That's all I want to know. It's just, but, and how you avoid that, Joe? Hop.
Yeah.
That's some crazy ass double dutch, let me just tell you. Wow.
You know what, I'm going to...
And it's like, how do you wake up, what are you, you fall asleep with the lizard, you wake up and go, you got cigarettes? You know, I don't...
You know, I think we're judging a little too harshly. Perhaps the lizard. I'm gonna play a lizard advocate here, or the devil's advocate here for the gentleman.
Lizard advocate, no, I'm not gonna... you said.
Lizard advocate.
Perhaps the lizard was sunning itself on a rock wearing something sexy. You know how they can be.
Wow.
What? Looking, flicking that tongue, giving you those eyes, one up, one down.
And maybe the lizard was drunk on something. You know, and the next day she calls the snake and goes, you went up my ass last night, will you?
You were...
It's just wow. Like now you're known as the lizard rapers. Like that's it. No matter what you do, you could cure cancer. Yeah, you're still the lizard raper.
Well, it's just like that old joke.
Yeah, he must be Loki. He's the lizard fucker.
Lizard fuckers. Lizard fuckers. You know, you fuck one lizard.
Well, yeah, and then it got chatty, and now I can't fuck another.
It's going to escalate the turtle. It's going to escalate the snakes. Next thing you know, you're going to try to get blown by an alligator.
Here's the problem with fucking. Ooh. Here's the problem with fucking turtles. Here's the problem with fucking turtles.
The problem.
The problem.
Okay.
You always got to fuck them at their place.
My place or mine.
Get home. I am home.
Just saying.
Why is a truck coming through my living room? I don't know.
Good thing about turtles, though, always hard.
I guess.
Yeah.
And we're justifying reptile fucking. A new low for a show that couldn't possibly go any lower.
I'm digging to get in there.
Tell Compound Media to match that conversation. I mean, sure, we're not breaking each other's jaws, but we're talking nicely about lizard raping.
Wow. Oh, I feel dirty.
Tell Ant I have some ideas. I want to take a meeting.
He had Pat. They were playing cards a couple of weeks ago, and it's a poker crew, and Pat plays poker, so he was there. They were fucking relentless to him.
He got punched
in
the jaw.
Dennis is like, "Hey, Pat, you thirsty? You want some punch?"
Oh, no, he punched the other guy. He punched Gino Bisconti in the jaw.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
You want some punch.
That's funny. All right. I think we've had way more fun at the lizard's expense than anybody should.
More than those guys did.
Well, no. Not as much fun as that. Sounds like a party. Party in the jungle. All right, let's take our break. We'll come back with some scamming scammers. On the break, we got Civetti with Skin. And you can learn more about Civetti at khb-music.de. We also have a Simon Anderson song, Desperate Man. Come back, we will do some